Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. Hey, everybody, this is Josh.
Hello, Josh. This is Scott.
Yeah, we're glad to be back with you this week. And it's Monday for us. You might get this on Tuesday, but it's Monday for us. And yesterday was great.
Monday, yeah.
Good
it
day
was.
Of worship.
It was a wonderful day at Grace.
Yeah.
Another hot summer Sunday.
Uh-huh.
A lot of activity.
Yep. But it's good to see people back.
Yeah.
Know? Like everybody, not that people aren't there, but like, people are traveling in the summer. Mm-hmm. It feels like you could see somebody one Sunday and then not see them again for like a month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that they've been gone. It might be that they've been gone a week and you've been gone a week and services change and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and I noticed yesterday some of our families were actually taking college students back to school.
That's right.
So still a bit of transition going on with school, but that's always the case. I used to think we had like a couple of transitional seasons in the summer.
Yeah.
And everything else was normal. And now it's rare for things to for everybody just to be settled down.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's always a transition going on. There's always another week out of school. Or there's always a vacation happening or a holiday or something.
Yeah, man. Schools are wearing us out. It's like from 2 weeks before school starts and then just every day it feels like there's more emails and there's more meetings you got to be at and orientations for things. It's so
yeah.
nuts.
Yeah, yeah, I'm complicating it.
That's right. That's
complexity. Right. It takes a lot of work to keep things simple.
Yeah. Speaking of things not being simple,
mm-hmm.
We have a lot of ministry stuff kicking off because it's the beginning of the not simple school year.
That's right.
So we got Wednesday night programming that kicks off this week. We've got community groups that have started up already.
Right. That's right. That's right. Everybody needs to remember that the in-home community group started this week.
Yep.
And then on Wednesday, here, children's ministry, youth ministry, and we have on-campus community groups for
That's
parents
right.
of children and youth who are on the campus.
Yep. Yeah, so lots of things happening.
Thursday is a women's ministry gathering.
Mm-hmm.
You can sign up. You should get this on Tuesday if you hear it. There's still time to sign up, I think, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's Thursday. And then next week, we've got a men's leadership training starts on Tuesday. So yeah, a lot going on.
That's right.
Good.
And continuing on in Acts, this was our third Sunday
mm-hmm.
in Acts 1:1-11.
That's right.
So let's hear the overview on that.
Yeah. Well, people need to listen to the sermon because I've been giving a review, you know, like reviewing the first week, reviewing the second week. So I won't do that again. But this week was on promises that Jesus made just before he ascended into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So he promised the apostles that they would have the Holy Spirit and he would come with power and give them power, that they would be his witnesses and that he would return. Mm-hmm. And it's again, what I pressed in on Sunday at the beginning was it's just not hard to understand not only why, the reality of why they needed that, because they needed the power of the Holy Spirit, and because Christ will return. So the reality, but just the sense that the apostles must have had of where are they in this whole thing? What, you know, we read it, you know, it's easy to piece together how many days Jesus was on earth teaching and then the ascension and then the 10 days in Pentecost, but they were in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And it just trying to get into their minds of what that was like to not really know, to hear what Jesus said, but not to have experienced it yet and to not really know when and how all of this was going to take place in terms of the giving of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the gospel and the church being formed and gathered. It just really is intriguing to me what they must have been sensing at that moment.
Yeah, it'd been very confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
But there were three promises that were designed to carry them into their ministry on earth, which we are still holding to today and still building on today.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So let's zero in on that last promise.
Okay.
You mentioned you kind of nodded to like having wanted to do like a whole thing on the ascension.
Yeah.
Right? The idea that Jesus is, you know, it is finished.
Mm-hmm. He's paid for our sin, but he's not finished.
That's right.
He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's interceding for us. Mm-hmm. And so there's this whole time we could spend talking about the activity of Jesus in the present for us right now.
Yeah.
But then that promise that he gives us there that you mentioned is that he will return.
Yeah.
So how does the promise of Jesus coming again one day, how does that shape us?
Yeah. Well, the return of Jesus is mentioned right at the end. After he ascended, the apostles are gazing into heaven, and the two men, the two angels, say to them, why are you gazing into heaven? Why are you gazing into heaven? He will return as you saw him go into heaven. Hmm. And so that's just a very short, brief, just matter-of-fact statement. He will return as you saw him going to heaven. In the next verses, they go back to Jerusalem. But there's so much in that. He will return. And of course, we know that the rest of the scripture builds on that and talks more about that than that little phrase. But it could go by quickly if you're just reading it. And yet it is, as you just mentioned, the question is, how does that impact our lives? It is so important to remember that Jesus Christ will return. And I think, sometimes in my Christian life, I've maybe picked up on messages or maybe just not had a heart of belief myself that too much focus on the return of Christ is not a good thing. Hmm. That's not accurate. Like, so in Acts, when they say, is it at this time to Jesus, Acts 1, is it at this time that you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons that are fixed by the Father. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That has been taken as you shouldn't worry about the second coming of Christ. You shouldn't even think about it. That's not really what Jesus means by that. He doesn't mean you shouldn't think about it. He means you can't know the time, but you certainly should be thinking about it.
Right.
In fact, later in the Bible, the Apostle Paul says he tells how Jesus is going to return, and then he actually commands the church, encourage one another with these words.
Yeah.
So we actually should be thinking a lot every day about the return of Christ. And then the question is then why and how does that help us? And certainly we would say that without it, we just don't have any assurance that there's meaning and purpose to what we're doing.
Yeah.
That this is all not futile. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the resurrection. And he says, if there's no resurrection from the dead, then your faith is in vain. Mm-hmm. You know, all the following Christ, all the ministry work is just, it's futile, it's in vain if there's no resurrection. So, well, how does that relate to the return? Well, because they're connected. You know, Jesus rose, he's alive, he ascended, he is alive, and he will return alive. And he will, if we're alive, we'll be caught up. If we have died, we'll be raised. So it's all a part of the same thing.
That's right. At the end of 1 Corinthians 15, he sums all that up with therefore be steadfast, immovable, mm-hmm. always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor's not in vain. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. This is not in vain. Our lives are not in vain. Our service to Christ is not in vain. The work of the church is not in vain. The Lord is working and he will return, and we need to keep our minds fixed on that.
Yeah.
There's something psychological about having purpose. There's something just in the way we're made to want to know that our labor, whatever the endeavor is, has a good end. You know, if your task is to repair a bicycle, but you have absolutely zero hope that you'll ever get it done and the thing will ever be ridden, you're going to be discouraged pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But if the end of that is, yes, this is going to be repaired and I'm going to be able to get on it and ride, you're more, you know, psychologically, you just want to keep going.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, there's some psychological benefit to remembering the reality of Christ's return. It motivates us to keep doing what he has called us to do, because in the end, that's what will matter.
Yeah.
I think I said Sunday, holding to the promise of the return of Christ doesn't like make us want to just become lazy, you know, or lethargic. It actually makes us want to participate because we want to give ourselves to something that we actually know is going to happen. We know who wins. We know the winning side.
Yeah.
Versus giving ourselves to things we have no idea whether it's ever going to take place. Mm. So I think that's important.
Yeah.
I would add judgment.
Yeah, Jesus talks about his return and like the master leaves and then returns, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's definitely a motivating factor to stay faithful.
Yeah.
Or to repent.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. So when Christ returns, there will be a judgment. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about the kingdom of God, and we have to be honest about the fact that not everyone will enter the kingdom of God. And there will in the judgment, it will be revealed who does enter the kingdom of God. And that's a reality. And Christ is calling out his people into the kingdom, and he's doing it through the preaching of the gospel by the church. And so it just makes sense that we would continue in hope, in confidence that Christ will do his work to preach the gospel, because that's the means he uses to call out people into the kingdom of God. So judgment is another great, and there are other aspects of judgment that could relate to that as well.
Yeah.
But all that to say is we should absolutely hold to the promise that he will return. He will come again as the apostles saw him go into heaven. Mm-hmm. That's not designed to give us some kind of visual image of how he's going to return and what it's going to look like and that sort of thing. It's just a simple statement. The time and season is not for us to know. It's fixed by the Father, but he will return. He went up, or he ascended. He's in the presence of God. He will come and gather his people.
Yeah. I think a lot of what we've talked about just sitting here right now would be for us in a context where we're not undergoing any major persecution, or we're like live faithfully, don't stray from the mission, those kinds of things. But this would also be a huge source of comfort if we were in a season where we were suffering for the faith, or if a person listening to this was in a season of personal trial. Mm-hmm. That the idea that Jesus' return is going to be the end that motivates in the midst of suffering as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The return of Christ, we sang the song Sunday, he is making all things right.
Yeah.
It's at the return of Christ that all things will be completely made right. It's a very powerful verse at the end of Romans that says, soon Christ will crush Satan under your feet. Which means that the followers of Jesus, the people of Christ, will join in his victory of crushing the enemy.
Yeah.
And that will happen as part of the judgment of Christ's return, at Christ's return. Think about how it would change us if we were granted the ability by God to think along those lines, and it really touched us at the core of our being, that we had absolute confidence that regardless of what happens on this earth, Christ will return, Satan will be crushed, we will be brought into the kingdom, and it will be okay.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah. How do we keep that mm-hmm. at the forefront, I feel like we're so easily distracted.
The old school way, I think. Meditate upon it, pray upon it, mm-hmm. gather as the church, remind each other of it. I don't think there's a shortcut to it. I think it's the old school way of prayer and meditation in the church, and faithful obedience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay. Well, that's a great word. That's a great word. Mm. We're going to get another sermon out of 1:1-11.
No, we're moving on. I think I'm going to move on this week.
Not to chapter 2.
No, there's plenty of chapter 1 left.
Yeah,
still working on exactly the main message for the upcoming week. There's a lot in there too. This is challenging, but we'll see where it goes.
That's great. All right. Well, we'll look forward to hearing that on Sunday.